Chairs No Waiting, episode number 555, Andy Griffith teaches about Don Knox. Two Chairs No Waiting is brought to you each week by the folks over at weaversdepartmentstore.com. It's getting closer to Christmas. I know, you know, it's past Halloween, time for Christmas time. So head over to Weaver's Department Store and check it out. They got the 2020 Andy Griffith Show wall calendar. That's right, you can have Andy and Barney and the whole gang hanging on your wall, telling you what day it is. Great time. You can also head over there and get some of Mayberry's finest pepper bacon. Oh, it's gourmet bacon. Head over to weaversdepartmentstore.com and check it out. Two Chairs No Waiting is also brought to you by donations from listeners just like you. The executive producer of this episode is my wonderful wife, Jan Newsom. Hello, everybody. I'm Alan Newsom, your host for Two Chairs No Waiting, and I have got a great story I want to share with you. I hope it's a great story. And what I want you to do is join along with me as I tell this story and try to use your mind's eye to envision and think about what I'm telling you and picture it in your mind. Because, you know, I am a huge Andy Griffith Show fan, just like you. And so I am just as in awe of all these actors and the writers from the Andy Griffith Show as anyone else. They are my heroes. I love them. They're fun to be around. And I have been blessed to be able to spend some time with some of them. And so you're going to hear some of a story that I call Andy Griffith Teaches About Don Knotts that I'm going to tell you in just a moment. But first, I want to tell you to stick around after that story to hear this week's installment of This Week in Mayberry History by Randy Turner. You won't want to miss that. All right. So I want you to join me now as we tell this story. So, and I want to remind you, you know, Andy Griffith said in several interviews that his greatest joy on the Andy Griffith Show was getting to work each day and then watching Don Knotts turn into Barney Fife. Well, it's 2001, and I've been performing as Floyd the Barber tribute artist for about 7 years at Mayberry events all around the country. I am backstage at the Opryland Hotel Theater in Nashville, Tennessee, standing in the darkness of the theater's backstage, about 8 feet in front of me, silhouetted by the bright lights of the stage, is Don Knotts. He's waiting to be introduced and to walk out onto that stage. You know, I'm an electrical engineer. I'm dressed up like a barber. I'm looking at Don Knotts. I've been working as part of a show with Don Knotts. How in the world did I get here? Well, earlier in that same show, that same day, I was in the theater backstage area, but this time Don was sitting quietly in a chair in a fairly well-lit area backstage. You know, I walked by him sitting there with his arms resting on the armrest of the chair. And I don't want to bother him because he seems to be thinking about, you know, the performance he's about to do. But I notice Don Knotts is wearing what looks like Barney Fife's salt and pepper suit from the Andy Griffith Show. You know, the suit that Barney wore when he went dancing with Thelma Lou. You know, the suit that Mr. Izumoto wore when he was fighting Fred Plummer, when he's dressed up like Barney on the Andy Griffith Show episode, Barney's Uniform. The same suit that Don Knotts wore on the Ghost and Mr. Chicken movie. You know, I'm trying to get a good look at this suit without drawing attention to myself or distracting Mr. Knotts from his thoughts. But wow, I think that may be the suit. You know, I know he's about to do a scene. The scene where Barney was singing good old 14A, you know, with a choir in that segment of the Andy Griffith Show. Don was wearing that suit as he sang into that super sensitive microphone. Now, you know, he's still slim enough. You know, it could be that he could still fit into that suit, couldn't he? That's what I'm thinking to myself. Now, I really don't want to disturb him, but I really want to know if that's the suit. Now, I've met Mr. Knott several times over the last several years. In that 7-year period, I've been doing Floyd. I've been on stage with him. I've emceed events that were starring Don Knotts. He even knows my name. Ah, man, but even so, I'm still in awe of this man, you know, because he's a star of movies and television. Wow, man. But I really want to know, is that the suit? So I gather up some courage and I walk over near him and I say, excuse me, Mr. Knotts. And he raises his eyes towards me and I say, man, I hate to bother you, but is that the same salt and pepper suit that you wore on the Andy Griffith Show? Don Knotts, he smiles and he nods his head and says, yes, yes, it is. I had to have the pants let out a little bit, but it's the same suit. I am sure that I must be grinning ear to ear at this point, because not only am I in the presence of Don Knotts, but also in presence of his salt and pepper suit. I looked at Mr. Knotts and I say something, you know, that had to seem odd to a man who was looking at another man that was dressed up like Floyd the Barber. I say, can I touch it? Don Knotts started to grin and his eyes had a twinkle in them. The kind of twinkle that you get when a man dressed like Floyd the Barber asks you to touch his suit. But he lifted his arm from the arm of that chair and he lifted it up there and held it so I could touch it. I could touch the suit. The suit. You know, I reached out and I take that sleeve between my thumb and my forefinger and I rub that fabric, you know, about 2 or 3 circles with my thumb. And I grin and I just say, thank you. And I let go of that fabric and I begin to walk away. But, you know, I can still see him out of the corner of my eye. There's Don Knotts. He starts to smile. He lowers his arm back down and slowly shakes his head side to side as he grins. You know, now I'm standing in that darkness of that backstage theater. 8 feet in front of me, silhouetted in the bright lights from the stage, is Don Knotts. He's standing with his shoulders slightly slouched, waiting to be introduced and to walk out on that stage. The MC begins to announce the accomplishments of Don Knotts. Standing there, I see the silhouette of Don. I see with each word that the MC speaks, I see his shoulders rise, become a little bit more square, his back straightens. And when the MC says, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Don Knotts. At that moment, I am blessed to see a man who had been sitting quietly backstage, who had been standing with slouched shoulders, turn into a man standing tall with confidence and march forward from the darkness into the light of that stage and take control of that audience. I was able to see just a taste of the thing that Andy Griffith said was his greatest joy on the Andy Griffith Show, seeing Don Knotts turn into Barney Fife. Well, I saw a quiet man, an unassuming man, turn into a star, Don Knotts. And that's my story. What a great evening it was there in Nashville a great reunion in 2001. We got to do it again in 2004. I got a lot of stories like that. If you like them, I'm going to try to write them down and share them with you, because those are some special moments that changed me in some small way, but changed me. And let me see just a little bit of who these people really are and what they're like. I hope you enjoyed that. It's definitely something you probably couldn't have heard anywhere else, because I think I was the only one standing there. But wow, what an evening that was, being there with Don Knotts. All right, folks, let's go in here from our roving reporter, Randy Turner.
Welcome to This Week in Mayberry History, a report by special correspondent Randy Turner of the Gomer and Cooper Pyle Comic Book Literary Guild of the Mayberry Historical Society.
While Peggy McKay is best remembered for her long-running role in the soap opera Days of Our Lives, she played an important role in The Andy Griffith Show. Peggy was born on November the 3rd, 1927, in Manhattan. She attended Barnard College in the city, graduating in 1949. She joined a theater company in Texas formed by Margot Jones, who is known for popularizing regional theater. In the mid-1950s, Peggy returned to New York City to study under the co-founder of the group theater, Lee Strasberg, then later helped establish Strasberg's West Coast Studio. While studying with the famed acting teacher, Peggy began appearing in off-Broadway productions and, like many stage actors in New York, began appearing in television shows broadcast from there. Peggy made her television debut in 1949 in an episode of the anthology show Kraft Theater. That same year, she also appeared in a similar show, Repertory Theater, and continued to do so in many others. In 1951, Peggy made her only Broadway appearance in The King of Friday's Men, which ran only 4 performances. Still, she continued to act on the stage. In 1953, Peggy began appearing in her first soap opera, Love of Life. She appeared in the serial between 1953 and 1955. One of Peggy's earlier roles was her most acclaimed on the stage. She played a major role in a production of the Russian playwright Anton Chekhov's Uncle Vanya. Her performance earned her an Obie Award in 1956. That's an Obie, not an Opie. The name is a play on the initials OB, standing for Off-Broadway. Peggy made her film debut the following year in the 1957 adaptation of Uncle Vanya. Throughout the rest of the decade, she acted primarily in anthology shows, including 10 appearances in matinee theater, but also sometimes appeared in episodic series, such as The Adventures of Jim Bowie, Maverick, and Bonanza. In 1962, Peggy starred in her own series, Room for One More, as the mother in a family with 2 children who decided to adopt 2 more. One of the children, by the way, was played by Ronnie Dapo, who later first appeared in Mayberry as Arnold Winkler. After the show ended, Peggy found her way to Mayberry herself as Andy's old flame, Sharon Despain, who came back to town for a class reunion in 1963. Andy and his high school sweetheart soon realized why they had gone their separate paths in a bittersweet moment of the series. In 1964, Peggy was cast in a new soap opera, The Young Marrieds. She stayed in the show its entire 2-year run. In 1967, the year after it ended, she joined the cast of the soap General Hospital, where she appeared until 1970. Peggy continued to also show up in guest spots in other series at the same time, such as in Marcus Welby, The Waltons, and in 3 appearances as different characters in Barnaby Jones. Peggy appeared as a regular in a short-lived dramatic series, Gibbsville, in 1976. She played a recurring character in the 1978 series, How the West Was Won. That same year, she appeared in the TV movie The Lazarus Syndrome, then reprised her role in the spinoff series of the same name in 1979. She also played recurring characters in the acclaimed series Lou Grant and St. Elsewhere. But it was in 1983 that Peggy began the role for which she is best remembered. She joined the cast of the soap opera Days of Our Lives, where she played matriarch Carolyn Brady for 34 years, until 2017. While she never won, she was nominated 5 times as Outstanding Lead Actress in the Daytime Emmy Awards. Just as she had always done, Peggy still acted in episodic television during this time as well. Her guest appearance in The Trials of Rosie O'Neill won her a Primetime Emmy Award in 1991. Peggy passed away in 2018, the year after she retired from Days of Our Lives, at the age of 90. Well, that's it for this week. As always, thanks for listening, and remember to take Andy's advice and go out there and act like somebody.
Thank you, Randy. And if you want to make sure you don't miss out on any of the great stuff that Randy's doing on the internet, send him an email at turnersgrade@gmail.com. turnersgrade@gmail.com, and he'll make sure you don't miss out on any of the fun stuff that he's doing in and around Mayberry. So thanks again, Randy. His book is available over at Weaver's Department Store if you want to go check it out there. Great book. And there's even a calendar that he has on there as well. The Flip a Day calendar, I think is what it's called. But check that out. There's a 2020 calendar for that. Randy is always got some great information. Peggy McKay, I got to meet her at Mayberry Days. And she was wearing that cape. The cape that she was wearing was the actual one that she wore on the Andy Griffith Show. She actually brought it to Mayberry Days to show it to everyone. It was great. Man, I have gotten to do some really neat things. I'm not bragging on myself. The Lord has blessed me, and I have been able to do things that all of us as fans, you and me, we would love to get to do these things. So I want to try to do a little bit of what I did tonight and try to tell you stories of things that happen behind the scenes, maybe, or things that happen around some of the Mayberry events that I've seen. And hopefully I'll be able to write down some of these stories and get them fleshed out so that I can tell these stories to you. If you enjoyed them, I would love to hear from you if you enjoyed them, or if you didn't like it, or if you've got some pointers on how to tell a better story, whatever, I would love to hear from you. So please, feel free to start writing, calling, and let me know what you think. Did you enjoy it? Did you not? Could I do it better? Do you not ever want to hear a story like that again? I hope I was able to just take you with me just a little bit as I was telling that story so you could see what I saw. Looking at Don Knotts in the back of that stage, seeing him, the outline of him silhouetted there. Wow, what a great memory. Folks, I want to thank you for being here. It's a great memory every week spending time with you. And I want to thank you once again for coming and listening to the podcast, or watching it if you're watching it. Until next time, I'd love to hear from you. You can give me a call at 888-684-8415 or email me at floyd@imayberry.com. Good night, everybody.